Hello, and welcome to an April 26th edition of the Sports Ethos NBA Today podcast. I'm your host, Ken Taylor, and I'm going to be running solo since Burmese is still on vacay. But, man, playoffs has been beyond entertaining, both in the EuroLeague and the NBA. Had the Nuggets just toying around with the Lakers in each of these three games been pretty hilarious to me. You know, we had Boston kind of get the little zombie heat coming back to life, hitting, what was it, 24, 25 three-pointers. Sadly, we had my Clippers lose on quiet return. Looked a little rusty going into his first game back after a couple of weeks off. And then, of course, you know, we have the changing of the guards with Minnesota just dominating Phoenix in pretty convincing ways, you know. EuroLeague, you know, we have Maccabi and Panathinaikos probably having like the little series, the best series of the EuroLeague in the playoffs, even though Wade Baldwin's out. Then, of course, Monaco Fenerbahce is going to be a good watch tomorrow. Right now, Monaco's up 1-0. But, you know, enough of this playoff talk. Let's go straight to the slate. And to start it off, we got a very, very early start. Indiana and Milwaukee are playing at 2:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I don't know what type of scheduling conflicts happen, but remember, 2:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time start time. You will need to get your lineups in early if you want to play the full slate. Outside of that, we got Clippers, Dallas on the slate. Pretty much everybody's healthy in that series. Might get word of Gafford being out. Just something to keep an eye on. Then we're going to end it with the Minnesota Phoenix game three. And to start it off, you know, let's just go straight to the point guard position. Look, I know it's going to be chalk, so this is going to be like a cash game only play. But I believe you will have to play Dame time at 9-3. In cash games, you could get away with him in GPP, depending how you work some of these spin-ups in your lineup. But in cash games, I want to say Lillard probably have the safest floor we've seen in the playoffs. And, you know, you can't really complain. When it came to the Bucks scoring, he's basically been able to do whatever he wanted to do in the first half. If you're playing him in a GPP, you're just hoping he could translate that into the second half as well. Outside of that, mid-tier, this is where you really need to get different. So if you're playing a GPP and you're fading Halliburton, I would spend 4-4 for TJ McConnell. Again, this is more of a GPP play. I do feel like he should have a little bit of ownership, so it won't be like a 3-5% ownership. He might be around 10% ownership, seeing this is a three-game slate. But he has yet to get 20 minutes in the playoffs. And for some odd reason, his assist rate's been extremely low. Usually you like to see McConnell having an assist rate of around 30% when he's on the floor. But I think in the playoffs, he's only been, 18% in this two-game span. So hopefully that get a tick up and hopefully his minutes goes up. But at 4-4, if he can actually return to form, actually get a few dimes, and then, you know, get maybe about three field goals to actually go in for him, He should be able to get you 25, 30 fantasy points in this spot at 4-4. And of course, if we're spending 4-4 for a mid-tier, you know we're going extremely cheap for our GPP cheap play. And this one, I only play this if you think this Minnesota Phoenix game will go a little bit odd. Like, if you're thinking it's going to be blowout potential either way, like if you think Phoenix is going to be up a good amount or if Minnesota will be up a good amount, I think Monty Morris will actually see an uptick in minutes, especially if there's garbage time. But again, this is a GPP play. Wouldn't recommend this in your cash games, but if you feel like there's going to be a good amount of garbage time in this game, Morris will be a nice little 3-1 pickup that you can use at less than probably 2% on a 3-game slate. So if he's able to return 15 fantasy points in this spot, that's really going to help you differentiate yourself away for some of these chalkier, cheaper option. Moving on to the two guard position. Again, there's some really chalky players you could go with and some really different players you could go with. For the spend up, I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to go with Devin Booker. 8-1, and I guess you could say a must-win game. Didn't really have the greatest performance in the playoffs this year, but he does have the usage. Again, he's going to be out there. He's going to get these shots up. And even though Minnesota do have a pretty great defense right now, very great defense, might I add, I do feel like there's no way but up for him right now. Right now, just his threes haven't been falling. He's not really the most highest volume three-point shooter, but he does have a pretty decent percent. I want to say in the playoffs, he's shooting 20% for three in the playoffs. Still has the ability to get to the line and still have the ability to actually get a few assists if his, you know, other teammates can actually hit a shot or not. Assist rate is lower than 25% right now for the playoffs, but hoping this goes up. And if it does, you should be able to get him at a little bit of a discount in the ownership. I don't think he's going to be higher than 25% ownership in cash or GPPs, but he should be able to return 45, 50 DK points in this spot if everything normalized for him at this position. Going for my mid-tier play, I'm going to go cash game, going to go chalk, going to go Bradley Beal. Again, another player who's been getting minutes, but just haven't been producing in the playoffs. I want to say he's shooting slightly better from three than Devin Booker, which is actually somewhat surprising. But his usage, effective field goal percentages, all of that just been significantly below his season average. So if you do feel like Phoenix will be in a bounce back game, I do feel like the big two plus Bill should be able to combine for probably 65% of their points in a win. And just off the scoring alone, I do feel like this is a 20-point spot for him. So if you're able to get his points prop at 16.5, 17.5 on a book or prop site, I definitely would be interested in playing the over. Definitely would be interested in playing the over if you're able to get his points and assists for 21.5. Definitely thinking that over on that as well. Moving on to the cheapy play. So there's two routes you can really go here. In cash, I do feel like a lot of people will play Eric Gordon, especially if Grayson Allen is out. So if you want to, I guess you could say, differentiate yourself a little bit I would stay away from that, even though it's a solid pick. And just spend a little bit, actually you could say a lot of bit less, since Tim Hardaway should be out. And just spend 3-1 for Dante Exum. Again, this is more of a GPP pick, but I understand the logic of running in cash if you feel like the minutes will be there, since Hardaway minutes are gone. I am thinking it might go more to Josh Green, so a lot of people might be on Josh Green as a cheaper option for this Dallas side. But Exum actually been pretty decent defensively this season, and had shown his ability to knock down the occasional corner three. And I do feel like if Clippers are a little bit more healthy and Kawhi is showing his usual playoff scoring abilities, I think Josh Green might be a little bit limited, and Exum will be able to get a uptick in a few minutes. But again, this is just a GPP play. This could cost you a lot, because I'm telling you, the floor for Exum could be as low as 2 fantasy points, and the ceiling could be 20, 25 fantasy points. So it's nothing crazy, but if you need to get different and you're doing a lot of chalk, that's one way you can differentiate yourself. Before I go to small forwards, if you don't have the DFS Fantasy Pass, the Sports Season Fantasy Pass, please get up on it. You get a few experts telling you on the news and giving you picks. If he was a part of it, I had Aaron Gordon, I think it was PRA or fantasy points over, and D'Angelo Russell under assists. That was a unit play that I posted in there that would have hit, got you a unit. But again, there's a lot of experts, a lot of people telling you fantasy plays, prop plays, everything else. Now going back into this small forward, this is going to be chalky. I hate to say it, but Pascal Siakam for 8-3 will probably be the highest owned player on a DFS slate that has numerous stars on it. So if you're playing cash, I really don't see why you would not plug them in. Yeah, but hear me out. If you want to fade them, I do have a nice little mid-tier play. Same team, whole lot less ownership, that you could switch him out for. And that's Aaron Nesmith. He's been getting minutes. Want to say he played 40 in the last game. Been actually producing. I don't think he's going to give you close to 7 or 8 assists in this Nets matchup, but he's been solid taking the shots. Not always connecting on them, but he's been jacking up a good amount of threes. And that's something I like to see, because one thing about DFS is it's all about opportunity. You know, if they're able to connect on it, that's how we're going to be able to cash out. And if it allows me to differentiate myself from the field, especially in GPPs, I'm gonna lean that way. So if you feel, you know, Siakam is a little too chalky for you, you still want to get exposure to the Indiana game, Nesmith will be the route that I will be looking at. And his floor is good enough for cash games as well. I really do feel like his floor is going to be around 20 fantasy points, and ceiling could be as high as 40, 45 fantasy points. But again, cash or GPP, I'm more than happy running that if I want to fade Siakam. Now for the cheapy play. I really do feel like there's two routes you can go, both on the Milwaukee side. Feel like a lot of people will be Connington or Crowder, but I'm gonna actually lean towards Crowder. I know his ownership will be lower than Connington going into this slate, even if no news come out. But I do feel like they have similar ceilings, with just Crowder having the lower floor. So if I could save $100, $200 and just go Crowder and have the same ceiling in a GPP, I'm going to go that route. Moving on to the power forward position. I need to go chalk again. I'm going to go KD. Again, I really do feel like these Suns need to have a win, and their big three will need to combine for 65% of their points, either scored or assisted on. And at 8-2, must-win situation, I'm going to take my chances on KD. Typically in the postseason, his rebounds and assists goes up a little bit higher than his regular season stats, but it's just haven't been the case this postseason, because I typically like taking his rebounds and assists at 9.5, 10.5 over, since they usually have an uptick. It haven't happened yet, but again, his team production outside of him for the most part hasn't been the greatest. So if you do feel like the narrative is for them to win this game, I believe that prop should hit as well. So if you're able to get them at 9.5, 10.5 rebound assists, I would take that. And when it comes to his three-pointer, I know he only took like 1.52 for this series, but he might need to go out of character and take a few more three-pointers in this series. So that should be able to put an upside on his points as well. Going with my mid-tier play, I'm actually going to go back to my Clippers matchup. Hate to, you know, put up another Dallas player, but PJ Washington will be somebody who will be pretty cash gameplay only type of play, since I do feel like that ownership will be high. And I don't really think his ceiling will be, you know, crazy high. Like, you know, you saw him spike in the regular season. Like, there was a couple games where he had like 40, 50 fantasy points. I don't really see this happening in this series, especially the way that the pace is going. But if you want a very safe floor, I do feel like he's locked in to get 25 to 35 fantasy points for five sits. So if you're running a cash game, I feel like this is going to be kind of a staple that I will put in, especially at a mid-tier price. And, you know, the production should be there unless some crazy foul trouble or if Jason Kidd go into some crazy rotational changes. Moving on to the cheapy play. There's very limited options you can go with. But I'm going to go back to this Indiana game and actually going to run Obi Toppin. I do feel like the minutes should be around 15, 18 minutes. But at 3-4, I think he will have the safest floor for one of these cheapy plays that I actually recommended. He's extremely scoring dependent, has a pretty like 15% rebounding percent when he's on the floor. But if he's able to connect on two or three of those three-pointers he take, that might actually help you save some cash, plug in another Suns player or another player in this Dallas Clipper game and get you 20 fantasy points, 15, 20 fantasy points at 3-4. Moving on to the center position. This one is going to be pretty interesting to do. There's really no true spend up. So I really don't have a feel of how ownership really play out. I feel like if you want to go double center, it might really differentiate your lineup. But I'm really not sure what the upside will be on the ownership side. So I would just be approaching this like it's a cash game. And at 6'9", you got Bobby Portis, who's been kind of hit or miss. I mean, I know the production been the same in both of the games on the fantasy point wise, but he's really just did his damage truly in like the first half of the first game and the second half in the second game. It was really a fight for him to actually get to these finishing points, even though he had stellar starts or stellar finishes. So I don't really know how it's going to go, but if Bucks want to win this game, outside of Dame needing to be consistent and on the floor, Portis will also need to be consistent on the floor as well. So for 6'9", I will be playing Portis. But again, this will just be cash games. I really don't know if this will be the route I'll be taking for GPPs. Going a little bit cheaper, but on the same side of the ball, is going to be Brook Lopez at 5'4". Again, it wasn't just the steadiest performance that got him to his fantasy points in these first two games. So there is a big risk there. You really are banking on him connecting on his shots. I want to say last game he went 100% for three. I think he hit like five. But when it comes to his other ancillary stats, you may or may not get it. You already know if you see a rebound prop and it's 5.5, you play the lower on it. But typically, he's able to get you a couple of assists and a couple stocks. I want to say in the series, he only got you five in a two-game span. So maybe his ownership will be a little bit low, but I do feel like at that price tag, it might be a little bit higher. So I'm not sure if you want to play that in the GPP. That might be a cash game play only as well. Now going for the, I guess you could call it the cheapy play. I'm not sure if I'm going to play this in GPPs or cash if I'm trying to save some money. But I do feel like there's a scenario where I could talk myself into playing it in both. And that's actually going to be, you know, I'm going to say this is going to be GPP only. It's going to be Mason Plumlee for 3-2. I don't think people will be on him, but I do feel like he should get you 15 to 18 minutes in this game. I know Zubac's going to be pretty chalky, but defensively, he's been a liability, so I could see him getting in early foul trouble. Luka can draw fouls pretty well. Kyrie can draw fouls when he wants to, and we haven't really seen him exploit that too much in the first quarter of a game. I want to say the last game, Zubac got off with about 7 minutes left. And he also wasn't finishing. I still don't think that Ty Lue will just go small ball the entire game. And I think he might just switch to big. So you might actually get Plumlee or Daniel Theis. But I'm going to run Plumlee for 3-2 in GPPs. And I might even talk myself into running into cash if it gives me like another star. You know, if you want to get loaded up with stars and scrubs, that can be a route you could take in your cash games. But outside of that, that's how I'm going to be attacking this slate. Hopefully this is enough information that will help you take down your slate. And if you want to talk any type of basketball from NBA to the EuroLeague, to NBL, to WNBA. You could find me on Twitter at OrangeDFS. I'm definitely going to be looking into these Monaco Fenerbahce props tomorrow. Also, day two of the NFL draft, you know. But outside of that, hopefully we could take down the slate, get this money, and until next time, latest.